it with a fishing pole. I'm dropping a line through an icy hole. I know you're down there, I know you're down there, I know you're down there. Swimming underneath it.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, in our other studio a little bit south of us, all the way down in La Paz, as we have the Grizz from Adventures South of the Border. But right now, we're going to jump into Eric Rangel from The Artful Angler. We've had Eric on more than a couple times, and he is a fly fishing expert and aficionado. He supplies, he's a guide, he supplies equipment, and you've got your own online store, right, Eric?
That's correct, and thanks okay. for having me, John.
Well, we enjoyed it all the time. Anybody that enjoys fly fishing enjoys listening to you. Yeah, I don't know what we're going to talk about, but it's getting to be that time of the year when people are getting more and more interested in, you know what, I guess when you're fly fishing, you don't always get your line wet, do you?
No, not all the time. I think, you know, this time of the year we have a lot of hopes and prays for the freshwater end of things. I know the trout opener is around the corner. A lot of guys in the off season do a lot of their own tying, so they tie their own flies, mm-hmm. whether it be salt, fresh, or even bass. You know, in the southwest here.
Well, the thing of it is, it's time for down here. The fish are going, Eric. I was fly fishing last week.
Okay.
Right on, yeah. It's kind of a year-round theme down there where you're at, Grizz, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, we had Corvina hitting flies, yesterday. We're just tearing them up.
Nice.
And some spotted bay bass hitting them. It was just great.
Right on. Now, do you do your own time?
When I get time, but you know, Eric, I don't have time. I depend on you to send me stuff.
That works.
We'll
it
do.
Works good because he ties a mean fly.
Hey, just real quickly, Eric, when you do tie flies, what's the similarity or difference between fresh and salt?
Well, no, there's a couple differences, but primarily it's the type of hook. Obviously, in the salt environment, we need to use stainless steel hooks as opposed to the bronze. And then we generally use a little more weight and little more materials because of the types of flies we're mm-hmm. imitating. For saltwater in general, we're imitating a lot of bait fish, and they tend to be quite large in some cases. So I'm sure Grizz will agree that some of the longer sardinas or anchovy patterns are pretty popular for most saltwater use down here.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly what you say is right.
And what about if you want to just kind of go down from the reel to the hook, give a quick idea about what you spool, and in particular for salt and maybe different types of freshwater.
Yeah, I mean, there are some differences, too, with equipment, obviously, with rods, reels. Everything has to handle the saltwater environment. And, you know, fly lines in that sense, too, there's fly lines that are made for tropical conditions, warmer water versus colder water. Bigger fish make longer runs, so you need to have a little more backing capacity. And reels that can handle those fish that run. Those are the fish we like to hook into, and they take you for a ride, but you have to have the right gear, you know, once you hook them. Hooking them is one thing, and then landing them, that's a completely different story there. So, yeah, it's leader size, everything goes up, you know, more in the saltwater environment compared to the delicate presentation of trout flies. But it's getting easier and easier for most people to get hold of these days.
Yeah, even the knots make a lot of difference when you're saltwater fishing.
Yeah,
so knots use
are very
a lot of bimini twist.
Exactly, exactly.
But I've never used a bimini twist on a trout.
That's a little overkill, right?
Yeah, I think so. You'd rip his lip off.
Right.
Eric, why don't you give us kind of a quick idea, you know, starting this time of the year, where the freshwater fly fishing is probably going to be the best?
Well, we did have a somewhat decent snowpack in the west. So, you know, western streams, I think they'll have a decent year all the way into the late summer. But it's going to start probably in the southwest, you know, Colorado areas where they're going to get some, you know, melting snowpack. And once that cleans up, we should be in good shape. But I think we should have a nice long season all the way into the fall for steelhead in the Pacific Northwest. Even up in the Great Lakes regions, you know, in the fall, they should have some decent steelhead.
That makes it easy for me.
So it's going to be a great year all the way around, Eric.
I'm guessing. I don't see any other reason why we couldn't have a decent year based on what we had as far as winter snowpack. So yeah, I think we're looking good this year.
Well, that's great. Well, I know down here it's good. I'm waiting on you down here. You keep telling me you're coming, but I haven't seen you yet.
Well, you know what? Send me an email, Grizz. We'll talk. I definitely got to get down there this year.
Yeah, maybe we can catch you some roosters or something on a fly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be great. I haven't done that yet. And, you know, I've been to Christmas Island, a few other places bone fishing, but I need to get down there and get some of what the Pacific Coast down there has.
Yeah, get you a marlin.
Oh, yeah, even better.
Yeah, you know, the striped marlin are real fun on it, Eric. They're a lot of work, but they're good fun. But I got good captains who can keep up with the fish.
Well, let's plan a trip then, and I definitely want to get down there and look forward to that. I got all the gear and got some new stuff I need to test out, too, so we can do some product testing.
Hey, Eric, how about if we maybe take some people down with you?
Hey, even better. It's always nice when you get a group of guys going down together in a group. Everyone, you know, can help each other out, and much more fun atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, Baja, 10, 15 years ago, nobody really cared or thought about fly fishing. But, you know, that's becoming more and more popular all the time. Especially, you know, catch and release has become really big down there, so that kind of goes along with the fly fishing. But the thing about, you know, I think about fly fishing in Baja is there's so many fish down there. Now, they're not all, you know, the exotic stuff. Like everybody wants to catch a marlin or a rooster. But, you know, if you just catch a bonito or a skipjack on a fly rod, man, you're going to be busy for a while.
Oh, yeah. Any fish on a fly rod is a kick. I mean, you don't have to target the big, you know, the big pelagic fish. I mean, there's a lot of inshore fish that just will put the rod to the test there. So, and that's the one thing about fishing in general, you know, regardless if it's fly fishing. When you fish in the ocean, you never know what you're going to get into, and that's what makes it so appealing.
Yeah, you know, that's what I always tell the people. You know, you're out there, you don't know, you can hook up a 20-pound Dorado or you can pick up a 1,000-pound marlin. You just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, and again, I would, along the same strain, you know, a lot of fish that the boat captains will get so frustrated with, like the needlefish, you know, they'll break their back and throw them back in the water because they get pissed off because they're, you know, they're a nuisance. But if you catch one on a fly rod... Man, they do aerobatics. They run and they jump, and you're going to let them go anyway. Except with those sharp teeth, I don't know how easy it is to hold on to them.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things and one of the reasons you see more people fly fishing, it's fly fishing with, you know, throwing flies is a little different than throwing gear. A lot of times the fish are used to the hardware, whether you got spoons or irons, and when they see bucktail or the natural flow of some of the synthetics. Sometimes that's all it takes to get those spooky fish on a fly, and so they're more prone to hit the fly. That's just been my, you know, what I've seen in the past as far as, and this goes for freshwater too, is giving them something different to look at, and I think that's why a lot of guys are really productive on the fly end of things.
Okay. Well, Eric, we're about out of time in this segment. I was just going to ask a couple more questions about, you know, where in the column that you want to fish, but we're going to have to bring you back and talk about that. So let's close up real quick, and you've got about 10 seconds to give us your website.
It's www.artfulangler.com, and just send me an email if you have any questions.
Sounds good. And I like that idea about putting a trip together with some of the people that, you know, you can be the guide and Grizz will be the entertainment.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's,
okay.
Yeah, let's do it, Grizz.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
We're going to go. Thanks. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We appreciate you tuning in, and we're going to be right back, coming live and direct from Cabo.
I'm going to go fishing and catch me a trout.
Lake Cochuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Cochuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040, 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara. Cochuma Boat Rentals for a day to remember.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Bad day of fishing is better than a good day at work. Bad day of fishing just better than a good day at work.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have our other studio in La Paz. We have the Grizz from Adventures South of the Border, and we have a very special guest, his first time on Fish Talk Radio, soon to be world famous, Ramon Asensio. Ramon does sales and marketing for the Finisterre Hotel in Cabo San Lucas. And if you don't mind, let me just try and take about 30 seconds if I can, Ramon. The very first time that I went to Cabo San Lucas, I believe, was in the early 80s. And at that time, let's see, there was down along the marina, there was a Mar de Cortez, which actually at that time was almost beachfront. And then you had coming into town, I think it was, the Cabo San Lucas Hotel.
Yeah, Hacienda Hotel.
Mm-hmm. And then the... of course, the very famous Hacienda, which is still there, but under a completely different look. And then there was the Solmar.
Correct.
Which now is, if you were there even 10, 15 years ago, you would not recognize what it is. It's become this huge, condo complex, and it's nice. And then up the beach from there was the Finisterre. And that was it. And
that is correct.
There was no such thing as the Playa Grande and the Sunset Beach and all that over there. That was where we used to go and ride our three-wheeled motorcycles on the sand dunes.
There you go.
But it's a little different now, but the Finisterre is definitely still there. And when you go up to the whale-watching bar up on top, you can see the boats and the whales. Beautiful, beautiful place, beautiful, beautiful location. But, okay, I'm done. It's your turn.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much. Yeah, the Finisterre Hotel, it's a legendary property, and many people that have been to Cabo will remember it. We're on the top of the cliff, and now if you're facing the marina, for the past, I think it's been 8 years now that they have the Cabo Dolphins, so a lot of people use that as a reference. In front of the dolphins, facing the marina, we also have, of course, views to the Pacific. And recently, about a year ago, Sandals Resorts is a Spanish chain that took over the property on a management contract, and we revamped the whole thing. We're working very hard to improve the 288 rooms. We're adding more restaurants, more bars, in order to be the very first all-inclusive resort in the heart of Cabo.
Oh, okay.
You got to invite me to come see it. I used to stay there at least 5 days a month.
You were a regular here, Chris. I hear that.
Yeah, well, we made a lot of television shows there, a lot.
Come on down.
I imagine a year and a half, we made one a month there at the Finisterre.
Yeah, what we're doing right now, we have with Massimo Constantino, we set up the IGFA European World Cup that will take place October 26th to November 1st. So the European IGFA participants are coming down to the Finisterra to have their tournament.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, I'll be down there. I'll have to come down and talk to you about it.
By all means.
So you're actually in the Finisterra now? I mean, you have your office there?
Yep. Director of sales right here.
And,
okay. I'll come down and see you when I get a chance.
Well, Ramon, I know that your job is not to take people fishing, but I'm sure that you have an idea what's going down in Cabo right now. I guess the weather's warmed up and, you know, the fishing just keeps getting better and better. Do you have any comments on what's going
indeed.
On there?
Yes, indeed. We can definitely always look from our hotel. You know, you were talking about the Well Watcher Bar right now is being remodeled. So at the top of the restaurant.
Oh, no.
Well, it's going to get better. It's going to be nicer. It's going to get really good.
Okay.
We have a great views. And from the Blue Marlin restaurant as well, you can take a look. The past couple of days have been a little windy, a little choppy, but I see clients of ours, guests of ours that come back with dorados and tuna, and they like to have, you know, cooked at the restaurant. That's still biting. I'm not sure if there's rooster fish going on right now. The billfish is going to be later on down the season, but regularly in Cabo, you can always say that tunas and dorados are always out there.
Yeah, well, the striped marlin are running down there. In fact, right out in front of your hotel last week, there was, in one day, one boat got 5 striped marlin right there in front.
Yeah, that's
about a mile off your beach.
Yep, now, I heard about that one, and that's kind of like odd because normally the big boys come down further down in the fall.
Well, this has been a crazy year.
Right.
It's been a great winter, and everything has been happening. And, guys, I mean, anybody listening to this, if you want the first-class service, the Finisterra is my place.
That's
where I love to go eat, and they'll treat you like you're at home.
Right. There you go.
Well, and I'm not sure if I should even ask this question, Ramon, but in the last couple of years, you know, because of the economy in the United States, which had a big effect on the hotel business down there, there's been some really good deals on prices in the resorts down there.
Indeed, yeah. Right now, we've seen the economy is picking right up, of course. There's great deals going on. Properties right at the marina, we're having, you know, super, super low deals. There's, of course, now more hotels that back in the time that you got here the first time in the early 80s. Now we have close to, if you look at one of those internet agencies, you can see they list over 90 properties in Cabo. So competition is getting fierce, but there's always great deals. Right now we still have promotions going on before May 1st when we convert to all-inclusive. And a lot of times people always mention, Ramon, how come you guys are turning to all-inclusive if everybody wants to go out into town and enjoy a good dinner or a good lunch? And what we tell them is that for the service that we've done and the things that we have set up with the 2,000 rooms we have in Playa del Carmen and about 200 rooms that we have in Cancun that is more of a luxury resort, the one here in Cabo, we found out that a lot of people that are staying in order to save money, they stay in San Jose or the corridor, still end up renting a car or paying for a cab that tends to be a little pricey.
Right.
And with the savings that we'll have by staying here at the Finisterra, you're, you know, 100 yards away from the marina, and you can walk, you know, for 10 minutes, and you're in the heart of restaurant town right at the marina and nightclubs and shops and stuff. So we want to give families and couples, you know, a great option, a good value, more restaurant options as well. And the money that they save, you know, from the drinks and the snacks and the pool, by the time they finish, they realize that it's definitely going to be a great deal for them.
Wow. Now, is it going to be, if someone just wants to go there and rent, get a room for one or two nights, can you still do that?
Oh, you can definitely do that, but it will be all-inclusive. I mean, the whole thing is it's all packaged out to be a great deal with including your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner, your drinks. Lunch and dinner is going to be a la carte, so it's not like you're going to be treated like a smorgasbord or anything like that. It's more, I think the all-inclusive has evolved quite a bit in the past years, and we found out through different surveys that people do appreciate the option to sit down and have a menu to choose from instead of just a buffet.
Right, right. Well, you know what, Grizz, this might be a good opportunity. Again, we talked about bringing Eric Rangel down to do some, you know, some fly fishing. maybe we can work out a deal with the Finisterre so that we can put the people up there and just make one complete all-inclusive package with your fishing and your meals and your and the whole shot. That sounds like a good plan.
We'd love to do that, by all means. Just let's network on that. And if there's anybody out there that wants to bring groups, you know, families or friends that want to come along, we can definitely do that. You have, you know, network with Chris and the people that you guys have been working with for a long time. So we're more than open to get more and more people back to the new Finisterre, which what I call them is relive the legend of the Finisterre.
I like that. Well, we're going to have to let you go, but I'm sure we're going to be bringing you back on multiple times in the future, Ramon, mainly because you're so good on the radio.
Thank you very much. I learned it all from you guys.
Okay. Well, give us a quick idea. If someone wants to get involved in that, I assume that the website, if you can spell Finisterre, it's
sure.
Not hard.
Sure. It's actually what I'll do. Let's turn it around. It's easier if you go to www.sandos. It's S like in Sam, A like in Apple, A like in Nancy, D like in David, O like in Oscar, S like in Sam.com.
Sandos.com,
okay. And then you'll look into, we have the Spain and then the Mexico portion. Click on Mexico and then click on Finisterre, and you'll look at all the rates, the promos, the information, what the all-inclusive will have. So it's all right there.
Perfect, and you don't even have to spell Finisterre. Okay.
That's easier, yeah.
There you go. Ramon, thank you very much, and we're going to be in talk with you real soon, and hopefully we'll see you down there in a month or two when I come down.
Appreciate it, Jen. Thank you very much, Joel.
You betcha. Thank you. And we're going to move a little bit up north right now to get into some real fishing. Of course, Diamond Valley Reservoir, Diamond Valley Lake, is something that was built not that long ago as a water supply, but I think it's, Tanya, it was one of the first ones that I know of that was specifically designed to be used for fishing and recreation, where most all of the other, you know, man-made lakes and reservoirs, they just, you know, had a, you know, they just filled up a canyon or something, but
yeah. They
went to great lengths, you know, to put structure and rocks and different things for the habitat for the fish.
Yes, they did, and it's great fishing here.
Yeah, okay, well, that might be a little bit of an understatement, but give us a quick idea about it. It's been, what, about 10 years now since it's been open, or has it been that long?
Yep, yeah, it's been about 10 years.
Okay, and then, of course, the other thing that they did before they opened it, you know, they stocked it and let the, you know, for a year or two before they opened it to the fishing community, so that it gave them a chance to establish themselves. And it really is one of the premier fishing lakes almost anywhere, because, and you also got a wide variety too.
Yes, we do. We have lots of different fish here.
Can you give us an idea what they might be?
Yep, we got largemouth bass, striper bass, catfish, bluegill, crappie, red ear, trout, rainbow trout, brown trout, smallmouth bass.
Wow. And you got striped bass in there too.
Yes. And we got some big stripers in here.
I was just going to say, because stripers are just a phenomenal game fish. Not only great table fare, but they're just a lot of fun to catch. How big do they get?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, our record is like 34 pounds.
Wow.
So, okay. Yeah, we get some big striper here.
Okay. Well, Tani, we're going to have to let you go, but if people are interested in getting into some premier fishing, how do they get in touch with you?
Phone number is 951-926-7201, and our website is www.dvmarina.com.
DV as in Diamond Valley, dvmarina.com. That's an easy
one.
And by the way, if you didn't get that phone number, you can always go to Fish Talk Radio and listen to the program and listen with your pen and pencil. Tony, it sounds like you got business to take care of. We'll let you go. Thank you very much.
All right, no problem.
All righty. Hey, Grizz.
Hey.
I like that whole concept with Eric and with Ramon and Freshwater. Anyway, we're going to go right now. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Tony, who is specializes in Grizz.
I'm going to go fishing and catch me a trout.
West Marine covers Southern California with convenient locations for all your boating and fishing needs. The new superstore on Shelter Island in San Diego, nearly a block in length, has West Marine's largest saltwater fishing selection on the West Coast. This is the world's largest marine store, located one block from Shelter Island Drive at 1250 Rosecrans. Not only stock to the gills, the staff has selected fishing experts in what to buy, plus how and where to use it. For boating, fishing, and water sports, this is the ultimate. West Marine.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Goldfish, muskie, rainbow, brook trout, brown trout, steelhead, catfish, dogfish, wolfish, bullhead, halibut, hake, hermit, cobia, pickerel, skate, sturgeon, landlocked, triggerfish, stingray, rock bass, smallmouth, grouper, pilotfish, mako, dolphin.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have the Grizz in one of our other studios, which is a little bit south of us, all the way to near the bottom of the Baja Peninsula in the beautiful city of peace, La Paz, Baja, California, sir. Hey, Grizz, before we get started with Tony, I just want to just take one quick second. Easter is a very special time, and if we have time, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit later down there. I'm kind of curious about what Easter's like in Baja. But right now, I would like to introduce Dr. Frohoff, Dr. Tony Frohoff, who is a wildlife expert. Tony, why don't you explain it? Because there's a lot of stuff on your business card. You're a wildlife behavior scientist and a biologist, right?
Yes, yes. Okay. I focus on the behavior of wild animals, and typically I am at sea with dolphins and whales studying their behavior, or they're studying mine, not sure sometimes.
Well, I was just going to say, if you're studying wildlife that's in the water, I wonder, Grizz could probably keep you busy for a long, long time trying to figure him out.
Yeah, my mom still hasn't figured me out, Doc. I just came back yesterday from Lopez Marteos, and there I was with the gray whales with the cows and calves, and I just had a great time. We swam with them, we filmed them, and everything. Whenever you want to go, let me know, and I'll take you there so you can check them out.
Just awesome.
Tony, I'd like to ask a couple of questions, because anybody that spends time in the ocean, in particular in Baja and in California and other areas, even in Alaska, you see a lot of marine wildlife animals. And of course, in Alaska, you know, there's a lot of the orcas and some whales, and up and down the coast, the western coast, we know about all of those. And then in Baja, one of the questions, and especially behavior, is I've always been curious as when you're out looking for, you know, you might be 10 or 20 miles offshore looking for tuna, and you spot a pod of dolphins. Normally there's only a certain type of dolphins that you'll find them, but frequently you'll troll through them because there's yellowtail swimming with them. And I'm just kind of curious what that's about. Can you help me?
Well, you know, it's a fascinating question, John, because the answer is certainly more complex than one would suspect. Apparently, the tuna are actually following the dolphins. Because they rely, it seems, on the dolphins' incredible powers of echolocation and their herding abilities to herd fish. And then the tuna will, you know, either take the scraps or take what's the extra. And so that's in part why dolphins have been caught to a lesser degree recently, but as part of the tuna fishing operation. And that's why it's so important, obviously, to protect them, because they can't help it that those tuna are following them.
Oh, right, yeah. So that's like the dolphin safe, you know, when they're after them. But now the...
But I have a question, may I, John?
Go ahead, Grizz.
Why is the tuna, you know, is what John said, that's what I do for a living. I make television shows, and you will like to know that I'm catch and release, and I sure don't fish with nets. I'm all sport fishing, 100%. But my question is, why do the tuna only follow a certain species of dolphin? They're not with all the dolphins, just with the white belly.
Well, you're right on about that. The spotted dolphins and the common dolphins are the two species most closely associated with tuna. Depends where you are in the world, of course. And, you know, it's probably has a lot to do with the fact that those species of dolphins are more pelagic, more offshore. And we have, of course, the coastal bottlenose dolphin, if you are in warm enough water or in certain other areas. But we really, when you go more offshore, that's what you find, and in very large numbers. And those dolphins also let fishermen know that, you know, that's a sign that the tuna might be with them.
Well, you know what else is interesting, Tony? Apparently they're both feeding on the same thing is why they're traveling together. Is that correct?
Well, exactly. And you know, I mean, they again, you know, the dolphins have such a extremely unique and powerful ability to find fish with their own natural innate echolocation system that the tuna take advantage of that, and then they can find prey through them.
Here's another question for you. Let's just say they're chasing mackerel, and you toss a mackerel in the water with a hook in it, and the yellowfin gobble it up. But I have never, ever in all my life heard of a dolphin being caught with a hook and line.
Well, you don't catch them, John, but you hook them. I've caught three.
But they don't take the bait.
Yeah, they did. I have to step in and say that. There's been on three different occasions that I've had dolphins to hit the bait.
I was just going to say, it depends on where you are, in fact. There have been problems with dolphins following trawlers in Gulf of Mexico and problems there. And there are times when dolphins who have been fed by humans, which is a no-no, will become used to feeding in proximity to fishing hooks and such. So they typically don't go for that in the way that perhaps a sea lion might, who's used to humans. Mm-hmm. But, it does happen on occasion.
The way I looked at it, Tony, is I figured, well, there's dumb people. There's got to be dumb dolphins.
By the way, Grizz, I just want to make a quick comment. You're the co-host, remember? You're not supposed to contradict what I say.
I can do that, but with the caveat that what you said is right most of the time, John.
Okay. But, Tony, while we got a chance, let's talk a little bit more, other than just with the tuna, about what's the difference between dolphins, porpoises? Is there a difference between East Coast, West Coast, Alaska, and Baja?
East Coast, West Coast. Are we talking rap here, John? East Coast, West Coast dolphins. Well, we have definite differences between bottlenose dolphins and other kinds of dolphins and porpoise. They used to all be called porpoise. That's when we didn't know much better. And now we know that porpoise are smaller. They have different shaped teeth, different shaped fins, and they don't have the robust pronounced rostrums, what we call the nose, which is really the jaw that we typically see in dolphins. And East Coast, West Coast dolphins, yes, there is a variety. And you can tell the difference in part because of the size. The Atlantic dolphins, who reside in warmer waters typically, are smaller than the Pacific coastal bottlenose dolphin variety on where we live in California here. So apparently the extra body mass really helps. And if you go to Ireland or England, you will see the biggest dolphins you have ever seen. And I say bottlenose dolphins because, of course, the orca is the largest member of the dolphin family. But the bottlenose dolphins in Ireland and England, that water is cold, and those dolphins are ginormous.
Okay. Well, Tony, real quickly, I've just got a comment and then a question because we've been talking about biology and we want to talk more about behavior, but I was just going to make a comment to Grizz. Even though you say that you have caught a dolphin on a hook and line, I'm sure it was not on porpoise, right?
No, I would never do anything like that.
You missed it. Never mind.
I love those animals.
Never mind. You missed it. Go ahead, Tony. What we'd like to know is about some of the behavior, in particular marine mammals, that you might be able to comment on it that is very interesting?
Well, I think that the intelligence of dolphins and whales is, of course, one of nature's and perhaps life's greatest mysteries. The dolphin brain, as you might have heard, is just as sophisticated in many ways, if not perhaps more sophisticated in some ways than that even of humans. They have an incredibly vast emotional repertoire and behavioral repertoire, and their social interactions are so sophisticated. I mean, you can really see some dolphins taking care of other dolphins, moderating peace in their societies, and they have cultures, John. I mean, we really have documented the presence of culture in sperm whales and many dolphin societies, and this means that they're passing traditions on to their young, whether it's vocal dialects or feeding habits, and so they're really sophisticated animals.
Okay. Man, it's such a fascinating, fascinating subject, and we've only got about a minute or so left. But I don't know, you know, I know you can't cover it to all to a great extent, but how about communication? Can you just comment on that with marine mammals?
Absolutely. Well, the dolphins and whales, of course, have echolocation. They also whistle. And if you, have you ever seen the dolphins bell riding in the front of your boat?
Oh, they love it. I don't know why.
Yes, and sometimes if you listen, if you can hear the high-frequency whistles, because they may often be vocalizing. So even though a lot of people are on the bow of the boat screaming, yay, dolphins, if you listen, you may be surprised to hear, you know, these great whistles that they're making underwater and that you can hear above water at times.
Well, I would just, we're going to have to go, but just a quick comment. It seems like dolphins in particular, but one of the only creatures or mammals that you know that do things just for fun.
Well, that's true. They do, but I would challenge that. I've met a few bears, a few wolves, and who have a great time.
Okay. Thanks, well, Tony, I knew 12 minutes wouldn't be enough, but we really appreciate you coming on. It's fascinating, fascinating subject. Maybe we can get you back again and maybe cover some different subjects. But we really appreciate that, and we're going to have to let you go. And you have a company called POD. Was it Protect Our Dolphins?
ProtectOurDolphins.com.
Okay, that's perfect. We'll have to let you go with that. ProtectOurDolphins.com. Thank you, Tony. Grish, appreciate you hanging in there. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.